Well, greetings, dear ones, and happy Sabbath to one and all, and welcome to our main church service on this wonderful and beautiful Sabbath. And welcome to those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio. Welcome to those that are listening to the recording and to those that are listening on the phone. And we appreciate you choosing to join with us on this blessed Sabbath day. Our opening song for today's service is entitled, Open Mine Eyes. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID235.htm. Open mine eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open mine eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my ears, that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. And indeed, we pray that the Spirit will open our eyes, illuminating our mind with spiritual things, with the precious, glorious truths of God's Word, so that we can indeed be set free. And now our dear brother Dick will have opening prayer.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you once again for another beautiful Sabbath, at least where we are. We know the weather's different in different parts of the world. We ask your Holy Spirit to come and be with us this morning. Give the words of life to the speaker. We would ask you to remember those of our group who are suffering physically, spiritually, emotionally. Be with them especially today and comfort them and help us in our own way to do our part to help them too. Now come and be in our midst. Open our minds to receive your truth. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. Well, today we enter into a new series that is entitled The Latter Rain and Loud Cry. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes that I'll be referring to today, it's found at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1399.htm. So the latter rain and loud cry. And you know, there's quite a few different ideas and theories about the latter rain and loud cry of Revelation 18. And many of these theories focus upon some event, such as the Sunday law or something else, as to the timing of when these begin. But as we realize that we're living in these last days, at a time when every wind of false doctrine is blowing around and is in an increasing intensity, then this means that each one of us should ask ourselves the question, is what I have heard or may believe on the latter rain and loud cry really the truth? Or is it just the faulty opinions and theories of men? Is what I believe true? Or is it not true? And this is a vital question that we each need to ask ourselves, because what we may or may not believe on this particular subject does indeed involve our salvation. If you look at quote number one from Christ Object Lessons on page 112, do you ask, what shall I do to be saved? You must lay your preconceived opinions, your hereditary and cultivated ideas, at the door of investigation. If you search the scriptures to vindicate your own opinions, you will never reach the truth. Search in order to learn what the Lord says. If conviction comes as you search, if you see that your cherished opinions are not in harmony with the truth, do not misinterpret the truth in order to suit your own belief, but accept the light given. Open mind and heart that you may behold wondrous things out of God's word. And then in Isaiah 8:20 we're told, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So I humbly ask you today to lay aside any preconceived opinions, any hereditary and cultivated ideas that you may have, at the door of investigation into this vital subject of the latter rain and loud cry. And please join with me in searching throughout the Bible and the testimony of Jesus, which we know is the spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19:10, to find what the Lord says is the truth. And may we be constantly praying for God to grant us divine enlightenment, especially sending to us the precious Holy Spirit, so that we can be led and guided into the correct understanding of what is truth on these important topics. Now, in this study into the latter rain and loud cry, we want to try and comprehend all the truth that these glorious subjects have for us. And to do this, we will carefully investigate into the following questions. Number one, what is the latter rain and loud cry? What is it all about? Number two, who is this message to be preached to? Number three, how is this message to be given? Number four, when is this message to be proclaimed? Number five, who will God use to give this message? Number six, what happens after this message is heard? And the last, number seven, will you follow this message? So the first question was, what is the latter rain and loud cry? If you look at quote number two, how does inspiration describe this message of Revelation 18 to each one of us? In the Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 4, page 422, or Great Controversy, page 604. Hence, the movement symbolized by the angel coming down from heaven, lightening the earth with his glory, and crying mightily with a strong voice, announcing the sins of Babylon. In connection with his message, the call is heard, come out of her, my people. So then what we see pictured here in Revelation 18 is a movement. And this movement of God's people is similar to the movements of the past, such as the exodus of God's people from Egypt, or the early Christian church from Judaism, or the reformers from Catholicism, or even Adventism from Protestantism. But this Revelation 18 movement is not the Advent movement. This movement of Revelation 18 is the very last movement of God's people found recorded in the book of Revelation just before probation closes for the world. So this isn't talking about the Advent movement. This is talking about another movement of God's people, the last movement. So then it's of vital importance to all who want to be a part of this last day movement to know and understand what this message is all about. We're told about this important message in The Last Day Events from the Letters and Manuscripts of E.G. White on page 78, which is letter 86, June 1900. The Lord has this one last call of mercy to give to the world. So then the very last message, the very last call of mercy that is to be sounded to the entire world is found recorded in Revelation 18. So then let us read Revelation 18, verses 1 through 5, that deal with this movement, with this message. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now let's go back through these verses and define some of the symbols that are pictured here in order to see more clearly what this message entails. If you look at quote number three, the message started out, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven with great power. Now who represents this angel which comes down from heaven? If you look at Bible Commentary, Volume 7, page 984, we're told, I have no specific time of which to speak when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will take place, when the mighty angel will come down from heaven. So who did inspiration declare this mighty angel listed in Revelation 18:1 to be? Inspiration stated that it was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is not a created angel. And when you look up in Strong's Greek Concordance, word number 32, you'll find that angel translates messenger. So just as Jesus Christ is Michael the Archangel, yet he's not a created angel at all, but is the Lord God Michael and messenger of the Lord Almighty, so it's the same with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't created, but he is God, the Holy Spirit, and is also a messenger of the Lord Almighty. So then this mighty angel pictured in Revelation 18 represents God the Holy Spirit. And he's pictured as coming down from where? From heaven. So the Holy Spirit comes down or is poured out from heaven. And what is another name for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit from heaven? We're told in Acts of the Apostles, page 55, that it's the latter rain. So then what we see pictured here in Revelation 18:1 is a description of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. And we also see pictured here the initiation of this last day movement of God. Now, is this mighty angel quiet when he is poured out from heaven? And the answer is no, because we're told that he cries mightily with a strong voice, which we're told is the loud cry in Testimonies, Volume 8, page 118. He cries mightily with a strong voice or a loud cry, declaring the fall of Babylon. So then we see that when the Holy Spirit is poured out, or the latter rain falls, he brings the beginning of the loud cry. I hope you can see this because it's very important to understand. When the Holy Spirit is poured out in the latter rain, he brings the beginning of the loud cry of Revelation 18. So we see that these two subjects are intimately connected together. And if the latter rain is not falling, then it is not yet time for the loud cry to be given. So I hope that you can see this. Now, if you look at quote number 4. So after the Holy Spirit is poured out, after this mighty angel comes down from heaven, it says, and the earth. Now, what is a symbol representing the earth? It can represent our hearts or our heart soil. And Christ had a parable of the sower that scattered the seed into four different types of soil in Matthew 13, 3 to 9. And this four different types of soil represented four different types of heart soil where the seeds of truth can fall upon. So the symbol of the earth listed here in Revelation 18 can represent our hearts. And so when the Holy Spirit is poured out, something happens to the earth or to the hearts of humanity. And what happened to the earth? And the earth was lightened with his glory. So when the Holy Spirit is poured out in latter rain power, our hearts are lightened with his glory. But what is this glory? In Testimonies, Volume 1, page 353, As great power and glory attend the closing work, the faithful people of God will partake of that glory. It is the latter rain which revives and strengthens them to pass through the time of trouble. Their faces will shine with the glory of that light which attends the third angel. So what is represented as the glory which attends the third angel? It was the latter rain. And what is the third angel's message? It's found in Revelation 14:9-12, and it deals with the law of God, especially the Sabbath or the fourth commandment. It includes a warning against worshiping the beast in his image and receiving their mark. And the mark of the beast is worshiping on Sunday after it is enforced by law. And if the people receive that mark and choose to worship on Sunday after it is enforced, if they choose to worship the beast in his image, then they will receive the wrath of God poured out in the seven last plagues. So we see that the Holy Spirit's glory, which lightens our hearts, represents the latter rain which attends the third angel's message. And now please listen closely, because inspiration reveals something else about the glory of the angel of Revelation 18. If you look at quote number 5. The whole earth is to be lightened with the glory of God's truth. The Lord will not close up the period of probation until the warning shall be more distinctly proclaimed. The trumpet must give a certain sound. The law of God is to be magnified. Its claims must be presented in their true sacred character, that the people may be brought to decide for or against the truth. Yet the work will be cut short in righteousness. The message of Christ's righteousness is to sound from one end of the world to the other. This is the glory of God, which closes the work of the third angel. And this is from Last Day Events, page 179, letter 2C, 1892. So what did inspiration declare represented the glory of the angel of Revelation 18, which attends and closes the work of the third angel? It represents the message of Christ's righteousness. And we also read earlier that the glory represented the outpouring of the latter rain. And some may have problems understanding how the latter rain, or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and the message of Christ's righteousness can be united together as one. But again, what does God state is the truth? And when you compare God's inspired word with God's inspired word, you will find that the latter rain is defined as being the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that the latter rain means the glory of the angel of Revelation 18, and that the latter rain means the message of the righteousness of Christ, as we've already seen today. But if you do further investigation, you will also find that the latter rain means the refreshing from the presence of the Lord, or the refreshing presence of Jesus. And you will also find that the latter rain is the beginning of the loud cry. And if you'd like to study more into the various definitions of the latter rain, we have a 35-page Spirit of Prophecy compilation that we'll be happy to send you if you write to this ministry, or you could actually visit our website in the special page, the special section, and you'll be able to read and download that 35-page compilation yourself. And the actual link to it is lightministries.com/SDA/ID295.htm. So then we've seen that the latter rain is a symbol representing the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the glory of the angel of Revelation 18, the message of the righteousness of Christ, the refreshing presence of Jesus, and the beginning of the loud cry. But the Holy Spirit is the key to obtaining all of these blessings from heaven. Without the Holy Spirit, you would have no latter rain. You would have no glory, no attraction to the message of truth, no refreshing, no beginning of the loud cry, and you would have no Jesus. And in turn, without the message of Christ's righteousness, you would have no latter rain. But how can all these different areas be combined and blended together under the single symbol of the latter rain? In Review and Herald of April 11, 1893, which is volume 3, page 38, we're told this. The Lord is testing the people of today as much as he tested the Jews in their day. When he sends his message of mercy, the light of his truth, he is sending the Spirit of truth to you. And if you accept the message, you accept Jesus. So do you see how all these areas tie together in one harmonious picture, one glorious image? When God sends his message of mercy, the light of his truth, he is sending the Holy Spirit to you through that message. And if you accept the message, you accept Jesus into your heart because the Spirit puts him there. So do you see how all these blend together in one glorious picture? The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And thus everything that's connected with truth, the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is also the messenger and representative of God and Christ. So with the Holy Spirit there, you also have the Almighty and Christ there. And if the Spirit puts the truth in your heart, since Jesus is the truth, then he's putting Christ into your life. So when God sends his message of truth to you, he's sending light from above. He's sending the Holy Spirit to you through that light, through that truth. And if you accept the message, then you accept Jesus into your heart. If you look at quote number 6. Was it any different when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the early rain at Pentecost? And the answer is no. In Special Testimony Series B, number 7, page 63. When the truth in its simplicity is lived in every place, then God will work through his angels as he worked on the day of Pentecost, and hearts will be changed so decidedly that there will be a manifestation of the influence of genuine truth as is represented in the descent of the Holy Spirit. So what was represented at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was poured out? A manifestation of the influence of genuine truth. And God makes this even clearer. In the 1888 Materials, Volume 3, page 1017, which is Letter 25B, August 30, 1892. He, or the Holy Spirit, shall glorify me, or Jesus Christ. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. The Holy Spirit glorifies God by so revealing his character to his people that he becomes the object of their supreme affections, and by making manifest his character in them. They see clearly that there was never any righteousness in the world but his, no excellence in the world but that derived from him. Now read closely. When the Spirit was poured out from on high at Pentecost, the church was flooded with light. But Christ was the source of that light. His name was on every tongue. His love filled every heart. So it will be when that angel that comes down from heaven, having great power, shall lighten the earth with his glory. May the Lord help his people to see and understand what is truth. So when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the early rain power at Pentecost, what happened to the church? The church was flooded with light that centered in Jesus. And so then what is going to happen when the latter rain falls today? Again, God's people will be flooded with light, and Christ will be the source and center of that light. So when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the early rain, the church was flooded with the truth that centered in Christ. And when the latter rain falls today, then God's people will again be flooded with the truth that centers in Christ. And in Last Day Events, page 64, which is letter 22, January 1889, we're told. I stated, and this was during the 1888 General Conference session, I stated that there was to be special light for God's people as they neared the closing scenes of this earth's history. Another angel was to come down from heaven with a message, and the whole earth was to be lightened with his glory. So I hope that you can see this, dear ones. Now, we've learned that the latter rain was to fall with a message. And what again was this message? We learned that the message was the righteousness of Christ. If you look at quote number 7, the righteousness of Christ involves justification and sanctification by faith. And justification and sanctification is the third angel's message in verity or in truth, which you can find in Evangelism on page 190. And we're also told that this was the beginning of the loud cry. So the latter rain was to fall with a message which is the righteousness of Christ and which is the beginning of the loud cry. And we state this truth in another way. We could say that God desires to rain righteousness upon his people. And this is what we're told in the scriptures. In Hosea 10, verse 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. But now, why is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit connected with the message of truth that centers in Jesus, connected with this righteousness of Christ's message? in Selected Messages, Book 2, page 49. The only channel through which the Spirit operates is that of the truth. So then the only channel through which the Holy Spirit could be poured out in latter rain power is that of the truth. So then you can't have just the power of the latter rain without accepting the message that the latter rain is connected in. There's no way to receive the power of the Spirit except that you receive the truth that the Spirit is in. Many individuals among us have been taught just to focus on the power of the Spirit coming to you in latter rain and filling you to the point that you now obey God and go to work. But the power is found in the message of truth. So if you never accept the message of truth, then you don't have any way to receive the power of the latter rain. But if you receive the message of truth, then you will receive the power of the latter rain in that message, to live it, to follow it, to make it a part of you. Dear ones, so many of us have been misled for generations into just focusing on the Spirit coming and giving us power instead of seeing the power of the Spirit in the message of truth to enable you to live it and become like the Savior. So the only channel through which the Spirit operates is within the truth, not outside of it. So then the only channel through which the Holy Spirit can come to you in latter rain power is through a message of truth. So then the latter rain was to fall with a message of truth, and that message of truth is the righteousness of Christ. In Review and Herald of November 29, 1892. The Savior of men will be glorified, and the earth will be lightened with the bright shining of the beams of His righteousness. He is the fountain of light, and light from the gates ajar has been shining upon the people of God, that they may lift Him up in His glorious character before those who sit in darkness. So then it is only through Christ and His righteousness that any of God's people can avoid worshiping the beast or his image or receiving their mark. It is only through making the character of God your own by faith, by beholding Him, by uniting with Christ, and then living through His grace and strength, that any of us can become like Jesus and become saved. Truly, there is power in the truth. But outside of truth, there is no divine power. There's only satanic power. But was the righteousness of Christ the only message connected with the loud cry? You look at quote number 8. And I heard another voice from heaven. Now, before we go on, whose voice is this being heard? It is the mighty voice of God the Father. And what does it this voice of God say? Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. The her represents Babylon. So to be a partaker of the sins of Babylon would mean that you would be held corporately responsible for her sins. And what is corporate responsibility? Corporate responsibility means that if you are connected with or a member of anything that is part of Babylon, then you would be held responsible for all the sins of Babylon because you're connected with her. You share in her. You're part of her. You're part that goes to make her up. So if you're connected with or a member of anything that's part of Babylon, you become connected with Babylon and thus responsible for the sins of Babylon. That's corporate responsibility. And you can see this principle very clearly taught in scriptures. If you go to Jeremiah 26:15, you'll see it there. Joshua 7, verses 1 to 26, dealing with Achan, you'll see it there. You'll also see the principle quoted in Testimonies, Volume 3, page 265 to 269. And we have a booklet that investigates further into this truth on corporate responsibility, going through the Bible and the spirit of prophecy to reveal this truth. And you can obtain a copy of the booklet by writing this ministry or visiting our website under the booklet section. And the actual link to the booklet is at lightministries.com/SDA, capital SDA. /booklets, the booklets has a capital B, /id124.htm. So corporate responsibility is connected with this message, with this loud cry. And if we're found corporately responsible for the sins of Babylon, then what's the rest of the message? And that ye receive not of her plagues. So God is calling his people to come out of Babylon so that they will not be corporately responsible for her sins and that they won't receive of her plagues. But if they don't come out of Babylon, if they remain connected with Babylon, then because you're a part of Babylon the harlot, and are thus held corporately responsible for the sins of Babylon, then this means that you will also be judged guilty of receiving the same punishment that Babylon receives because of her sins. And then the next part of the verse, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So it is because Babylon's sins have become so great that they have reached up unto heaven that God has remembered or has investigated them, and thus her cup is full, judgment has been pronounced upon her, and corporate probation has closed upon Babylon. And that is why God is calling his people to come out of her, because her corporate probation has closed. Now, it's only after corporate probation closes upon Babylon that God then commands his people to flee Babylon so that they will not be destroyed along with her. So, dear ones, I hope you can see this point. This movement of Revelation 18 is not seen. The latter rain cannot fall, and the message of the loud cry is not given until after probation has forever closed upon all of corporate Babylon. Then, after probation is closed, all of these things occur, and God then calls his people to come out of Babylon in order to try and save them from being destroyed along with Babylon. So I hope that you can see this. This clearly shows us that there is a difference between probation closing upon Babylon the Great and probation closing upon individuals within Babylon. The closing of probation upon corporate Babylon doesn't mean that probation has also closed upon every person within Babylon. And this is because it is only after probation closes upon corporate Babylon that then God calls all of his people to come out of her. If probation was already closed upon the people, then there would be no need to call them out. Their probation's already closed. But it's just probation closing on the corporate Babylon system and not upon the people. And thus God calls his people to come out of her so that they won't share in her destruction. So then this shows us that if probation is not yet closed upon Babylon the Great, then it is not yet time for the latter rain to fall, or for the loud cry to be given, or for this last day movement to begin. But once it does close upon Babylon the Great, then that is the time when all these things occur, and God calls his people out. So that is what this message is all about. But who is this message of the loud cry to be preached to? And how is this message to be given? This is what we'll learn next time as we continue in this series on the latter rain and the loud cry. And may God continue to open our eyes that we can clearly see the time of day or the time of night that we're living in. Our closing song is entitled, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. And the lyrics can be found at lightministries.com/ID965.htm. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen, dear ones, very true. Everything except the righteousness of Christ, justification and sanctification by faith in Christ, is sinking sand. I ask you to please bow your heads and your knees for closing prayer to today's service. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for revealing to us that the very last movement, the very last message of mercy to be given to the world, that the world will see, is found listed in Revelation 18:1-5. And I pray, dear Father, that you will continue to send to us the Holy Spirit, that we can comprehend and understand all that this entails. That all preconceived ideas and opinions about the latter rain and the loud cry and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the last message of mercy may become crystal clear, put in their proper place, so that we can behold, become excited about what we see, and that it can become a part of us. And thus we can become part of it. For we don't want to be passed by and lost. We don't want to lose our crown and have another take it. But Father, we want to be saved. We want to be thy people. We want to be your witnesses. And we don't want to be the witnesses or the mediums of the devil. We don't want to spread his darkness of error to others. We don't want to follow it ourselves. But we instead want to know the truth, to live the truth, and to share the truth with others, that we can be your living witnesses in these last days, part of your kingdom of righteousness, and know that we're hid in Jesus Christ, and on that straight and narrow path that ends in salvation. So we thank you so very much for helping us to see and to comprehend and to understand this when we take the time ourselves to study it out. And thank you, Spirit, for leading and guiding us into all truth. And dear Blessed Father, we have some prayer requests and petitions to bring before thy throne, and you already know about these, but you delight to have us pray to you, to talk with you and commune with you and let you know our wants and desires. And so, Father, I pray that you will please be with Sister Karina's father-in-law, that he will come ever closer to Jesus and will not fight against the drawing power of the Holy Spirit working in his life. Father, we also have silent prayer requests, and thank you for already hearing and answering these. We also pray for Olivia to remember the truths which were shared with her, and for her and her mother to give up her hesitancy about the truth and become more willing for her and Olivia to visit and to study more and to learn more. We also pray for Brother Nahate's arm to heal up as good as new and stronger than ever before, and thank you for helping him with the pain and with this healing process. We also pray for Sue and Jana to understand the truce. We also pray for Sister Walker to be able to earn a living in connection with her motherly schedule and raising a precious little one. We also pray for those in the Caribbean to wake up and to indeed bless the efforts of Brother Steve to wake them up more. We also pray for Brother Isaac and family in their health issues and severe trials that they're going through. The same for Brother Mukinda. And we also pray for Sister Chrissy that she'll have the courage and the faith to perform her responsibilities at work in whatever place that you would have her travel to, and to indeed share the truth that she knows with others and thus help others come to fall in love with Jesus and become saved before it's too late. Father, we ask that you hear and answer these prayers and petitions and all the other prayers and petitions and silent requests that have been brought before thy throne by thy people all around the world. And thank you so much for doing so. Please continue to be with us as we enter into the after church service. And please be with each and every individual heart that they will indeed come to know and understand the truth more fully and thus be able to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Father, for hearing and answering this prayer and allowing us the privilege through Christ to come before thy throne of grace at any time of need. Thank you so much for being our tender, loving Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So, dear ones, these are really some important, vital messages to understand. And once we do understand everything about the latter rain and the loud cry that we possibly can, we will know without a doubt what time of night we're living in and just how soon the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is. So this is just part one of a four-part series on the latter rain and loud cry. And I pray that you will take the things that you heard, study them for yourselves, so that you yourself can understand the truth, because you see it founded in inspiration. There was a question about the book Last Day Events and part of the quotes that I took from that book. There's a little confusion about this. We released a book called Last Day Events from the Letters and Manuscripts of E.G. White back in the 90s. And this book was made up of about 70% unpublished testimony material that was not found published in any other compilation or source. And shortly afterwards, I believe it was the Review and Herald, but the General Conference issued a compilation called Last Day Events. So it's not Last Day Events from the Letters and Manuscripts of E.G. White, it's just called Last Day Events. And, of course, that book doesn't contain 70% unpublished testimony. It probably contains 70 or more percent of already published material that people have in other various published sources. So that caused a confusion between the book that we put out versus the book that the conference put out. And so when I'm quoting from the book Last Day Events, it's not from the conference edition, but it's the more full edition. And the title is Last Day Events from the Letters and Manuscripts of E.G. White. And this particular book can be found for free by visiting our website under the book section. It also can be found from the copyright holder of the Seventh-day Remnant Publishing Association at sdrpa.org under their books section. And you'll be able to freely download it, to read it yourself online, or to be able to put it on your own computer and then read it at your leisure. And it's also been translated into Spanish. So it's available in both English and Spanish by either visiting our site at lightministries.com or visiting the sdrpa.org website. So that may be why individuals are having trouble finding the quotes that I refer to from last day events by going to the conference edition, because you will not find it there. It's different. So I hope that will help clear up any confusion on that issue. And dear ones, praise God that we have the ability to dig into God's inspired word in both the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, and to search these truths out for ourselves, and to come to this understanding of a thus saith the Lord, and in it is written. Because we are truly living in the last days of this earth's history. We're living in a time when the devil is doing everything that he possibly can to deceive God's people and cause the loss of their salvation. And God is doing everything that he possibly can. The Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit are doing everything that they possibly can to keep us from being misled and lost. That is why the very last message of mercy deals with the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit possible, so that God's people will not be misled by the greatest deception and erroneous teachings that this world has ever seen. As the devil works hard to deceive God's people, God works even harder to keep them from being deceived. But we have to do our own work in searching through God's word, rightly dividing the word of truth, proving ourselves earnest in desiring salvation and escaping destruction. God isn't going to pull us into heaven. He's not going to miraculously fill our heads with all the knowledge of truth that we need to be saved without us searching, hungering, and thirsting for this truth. It's a co-partnership. We're to be united with Christ in a yoke. We're to be joined with God. We're to work out our own salvation, knowing that in this union, in this co-partnership, God is working in us and with his divine grace and strength to enable us to become like him in character, to grow in knowledge, to become more able to be saved, so that we can finally come into that full stature of men and women in Christ. So we have to put forth the effort to learn before we're going to learn. We have to put forth the effort to walk up that straight and narrow path before we're going to be able to walk it. And when God sees our earnestness in wanting to know, then he will bless our efforts and we will know. So study, dear ones. Break open the books. Take the things that you heard today and study them for yourselves. And God will indeed help you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, unto that perfect man or woman in Christ. He will make it possible in your life, because everything is possible with God. So, dear ones, are there any thoughts or questions or comments that you'd like to ask, bring forth? Are there any testimonies that you'd like to give or songs that you'd like to sing in this after-church service? Please feel free to do so now. Amen. That's a very good point. There was a comment put in the room that says, if you're not hungering for something, you cannot be satisfied. Amen. That's very true. Very true. Well, as we were talking about the three angels' messages, including the fourth angel of Revelation 18, that has been put to scripture, or that has been put in song, a scripture song. So let me go ahead and sing that for you. It's Revelation 14, 7 to 12, and 18, 1, 2, and 4. Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in their forehead or in their hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and with brimstone in the presence of holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And I heard another voice from heaven Saying, come out of her, my people, come out, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, come out of her, my people, come out. Revelation 14, 7 through 12, and 18, 1, 2, and 4. Praise God that He impressed someone to put that into music, because once you connect scripture with tune, it's so much easier to remember it. And that is just another method of getting God's word fixed into your mind so that you cannot forget it, but may be able to have it recalled to your memory by the Holy Spirit at any particular time that it's needed. So, dear ones, are there any other thoughts or comments, any other songs that you'd like to sing before we close for this wonderful Sabbath time? Please feel free to do so. Well, I want to thank one and all for joining with us on this wonderful and beautiful Sabbath day. I pray that God will go with each one, that He will bless your study with an enlightenment of His Word and a comprehension of the truth that is for today, the present truth. And I pray that He will keep you safe in the shadow of His wings and in the hands of His love until we're able to fellowship and to meet together once again soon. And I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. With healing in His wings, with healing in His wings, the Son of Righteousness arise, with healing in His wings. Malachi 4 verse 2. And indeed, dear ones, may the Lord our righteousness bring healing to you. May God bless.